32 extension 213. If you would like to volunteer during the membership drive starting tomorrow, we're going out to you via kboo.fm. You will find our articles on archive there, our programs on archive there. And in that manner, we go out to all the ships at sea.
And good morning. KBOO Portland is your community radio station. Thursday morning continues, and in 15 minutes at 10:15, join us for Flashpoints. On today's show, Green Party vice presidential candidate Ajamu Baraka talks about the warrants issued for his arrest and the arrest of presidential candidate Jill Stein in North Dakota. Also, Nora Barrows-Friedman and the Electronic Intifada. At 11 today on Between the Covers, the guest is writer Hope Jahren, who talks about her memoir of her life in science called Lab Girl. And then at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, the guest is Oregon artist Maximilian Ullarte. And he will be talking about his new graphic novel, The White Donkey. That's all coming up right after Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Chris Andre is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 2016 Festival of Nations. The Festival of Nations is an annual event hosted by the Division Midway Alliance and is a celebration of cultural diversity. Saturday, September 17th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Division Center on the corner of Southeast 122nd Avenue and Division. There will be diverse culinary cuisines provided by a variety of vendors, along with performances by local musicians and dancers, such as Cuba de Son and African showboys, as well as other activities like disc golf, putting, and a large-scale Thomas the Train. That's the Festival of Nations on Saturday, September 17th at the Division Center on the corner of Southeast 122nd Avenue and Division. It runs from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, September 8th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. As promised on Tuesday, we're going to try to get Steve Horn back because the Smart Blog put out a most incredible story. It is a company led by Donald Trump's energy aide says that its oil will flow through the Dakota Access Pipeline. And you don't have to scratch very deep to find out that there are quite a few fossil fuel interests that are banking, as it were, on the Dakota Access Pipeline. Their behavior suggests that it's already a done deal. And in fact, that's what is happening there. The machinery, this huge earth moving equipment is already moving earth, and the earth that it's moving are burial sites, they're cemeteries, they're where ancestors are buried, and they're plowing through that land without permission, without permits, without recognition of treaties, and without any reverence whatsoever for the dead. It's as though the First Nations ancestors buried there, and so they weren't even human beings at all. They were Indian, so it doesn't matter. That was the truth for white people back when the few ancestors were buried, and it's the truth now for white people who do not see First Nations as human. Just look at the way First Nations people are treated. That's all you need to do. We're trying to get Steve on the air, and as we continue to do that, I want to bring some weather to you, because again, this is part of where we live, where there is our environment, and it is where we see change happening first. Today, overcast skies might clear up a bit later, highs around 73, and light winds for tonight, patchy fog. Otherwise, partly overcast skies, lows around 52. And for tomorrow, fog again before noon, I love that low autumn tule fog hanging in valleys and around lowlands, creeks where creeks flow. It's one of the most beautiful harbingers of autumn weather. And for Friday night, clear skies, lows around 55, and light north winds, 5 to 9 miles per hour. That's it for the weather. And moving right along. The Malheur defendants behave like children, spoiled children, in fact, who have had their way for a very, very long time and are continuing to loudly trumpet their expectations. They feel that they're entitled to win. If they don't win, they'll call it a miscarriage of justice. Whatever they want, they expect it to be handed to them, just as they expected the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge to be handed over to them. That's why they began building. That's why they used earth-moving equipment, because it was their expectation that that is what was due them. And in court, same mindset. And it turns out that the U.S. Department of Justice has found that federal agents lack guidance experience for running undercover sting operations in several cities, Portland notably among them. Also, let's take a hard look at Madison, Wisconsin. Hope to get Robert Craig on in the next few days to do exactly that. Federal agents have been running these operations without, not as if the guidance from above would have helped them. A simple common sense and intelligence, not to use the word too lightly, or in too many ways, just basic common sense should have told them what they were doing. First off, it was wrong, and secondly, if they knew it was wrong, they were doing it wrong. That said, we've got Steve on the line right now, and what I'm really curious about is more on this Trump connection with the Dakota Access Pipeline. Good morning, Steve. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be on. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted to take up Tuesday's conversation and move into this question of the company founded, led by this guy, Harold Hamm, energy advisor to Trump's campaign, and of course it would look a lot like his Trump's eventual Secretary of Energy. So they've announced to investors oil it obtains from fracking in the Bakken Shale Basin is lo and behold destined for transport through the Dakota Access Pipeline. So there are, this is one instance, there are other instances where companies are behaving as though this were a done deal. Can you talk a little bit about how you came across this instance and what this actually means? I mean, there's a lot more here than a simple headline.
Yeah, so I found, you summed it up pretty well in terms of what I found. The way I found it was from looking on Continental Resources' website, which is the company that Harold Hamm founded and he's now the CEO of. And every month they do an investor update PowerPoint presentation. And for the past several months, I found 3 months where it's listed this way, including most recently in September. The company has a slide that specifically hones in on the Dakota Access Pipeline and its impact on the company's oil flow to market. And that slide shows that with the Dakota Access, when it opens, more of the company's oil we'll be able to go to market. And it kind of makes sense based on I had these suspicions, and I sort of thought it this would probably be the case because, first of all, this is a company that and Harold Hamm had been very active on lobbying and advocating for getting rid of the United States ban on oil exports. And this particular pipeline connects to another one that goes all the way down to the Gulf Coast that's owned by the same company, Dakota Access. Dakota Access's Energy Transfer Partners owns another one called the East. I forgot the name. But anyway,
yeah, it's there. It's there. Don't worry. The pipeline's there.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it.
So I'll just sum it up. So looking at that, and then looking at his advocacy then, and looking at what he had pushed for before, which was an on-ramp to the Keystone XL pipeline that Northern Lego was never built. His company was not against pipelines. They were doing oil by rail, but it's pretty safe to assume that they still were looking for a route from the Bakken Shale down to the Gulf Coast, and so this pipeline made a lot of sense. So I wasn't really surprised by what I found with this PowerPoint presentation.
What would it take to get through to the likes of Harold Hammond? I want to ask you again more about this guy. What would it take? The call to keep it in the ground is coming from more and more people, from some rather surprising sectors. The IWW apparently came out in against the Dakota Access Pipeline just the other day. So the understanding that the future of the planet depends on keeping this stuff in the ground. How do you put it across to someone like this guy Harold Hamm? When the profits begin to slide, investors get angry. That would be what it would take. But is there any way of explaining why this is so important to so many people?
You know, I'm not really sure if Harold Hamm even believes in climate change, so I'm not sure he's the one to convince about this. If you don't believe in climate change, if your company calls the fracking boom what he calls it is a quote unquote renaissance.
Yes.
He sees it, and he sees what he's doing is, and what his company is doing is sort of the Lord's work. I don't think that you're going to convince Harold Hamm to keep oil in the ground when he's become a multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire, from this business. So I mean, Harold Hamm is a guy who's extremely powerful in the state of Oklahoma, where his company is headquartered. He's basically also become very powerful in North Dakota, very influential in Washington, D.C., in the GOP side, on energy committees in Congress. So this is not, this is a guy who has a lot of power. You're probably not going to convince him. But I will say, really, besides all the overarching importance of indigenous, the Standing Rock tribe being involved, just for the sake of the human rights and the legacy of colonialism in this country, colonial settlerism. That's been talked about at length, and that's a good thing. I think that one of the most interesting parts about what's going on is there has never been a protest at all of the Bakken Shale at any mass scale. So I think that what's going on there has been shocking to the industry. There's never been anything like it in North Dakota. It's probably one of the most quiet places in terms of protests, say compared to Pennsylvania or even compared to down in Texas. There's been protests, but this is really unprecedented in the history of fracking. There's something of this size and scale that's risen to the level where the mainstream media has to talk about it and cover it. So this is someone like Harold Hamm's worst nightmare.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Not only that, the people, First Nations people, continue to flood into Red Warrior Camp and Sacred Stone Camp. And it would appear that it's not stopping. Mainstream media really did not want to do these stories. This was all the stuff the pipeline was supposed to quietly go through with a few angry Indians standing, you know, shaking their fists as the machinery rolled past. And no way, not, in no way, shape, or form does it look like that. It looks like, as we said before, no retreat, no surrender operation going on, and it's not stopping. I think because of what, you know, if you, that's your land and you've got nothing else but your land and your water, you've got nothing left to lose, you fight to the end. So this Harold Hamm is a piece of work, and there's a lot of material about him and others on Dismog Blog, so I can only commend listeners' attention to that website. Steve, thanks for being with us. One, do you have a final just note to close out on?
Well, you know, I'll say that I mentioned Harold Hamm, and what we talked about, obviously, is Donald Trump's key advisor, potential future Secretary of Energy in the United States if Trump wins. But, you know, just as important as his ties to the the U.S. Senator in North Dakota, John Hoeven, who another Dismog blog article revealed is investing in wells that are actually named after a different Native American tribe that came out against the pipeline, the Wahpeton wells, which are owned by Harold Hamm's company. And Harold Hamm himself, his wife, and the company that he is the CEO of all have given money to Hoeven. And even more importantly, was that Hoeven is actually on the Senate Committee on Native American Affairs. So
it's better and better, doesn't it? Steve, we're totally out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. This
Thanks
has been
ARCast
Canada for Thursday, September 8th, 2016. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a step.